About our sin and the Lord bearing our sin and the blood shed for our sin, and I feel like we were joking about shoes and boots and taking shoes off and all of that up here, but you know, I feel like a foot washing ministry. You know, some people literally wash one another's feet in church. That's not what the Lord meant. He meant that we have a foot washing ministry, that when we walk through the world, we need to be cleansed by the Word of God. And I feel like that's a ministry that humbles me to be involved in that. And that's what I feel like so often God's called me to do. And I really feel like this is a Wednesday night crowd. So this is really a committed crowd. Amen. Is Zach back there? Who's back there? That was Jose Spanish Ministry? Is that who that is? Is that Spanish guy's back there? Awesome. Welcome. Did they get a visitor? You'll take care of that. I'm sure you... Okay, they were here before. Amen and amen. We're just praying about the Spanish ministry. So, but anyway, this is the dream team. The Wednesday night crowd... The dream team, committed. Brother Joe preached on commitment, you know, committed. This is a great group, and I feel like, you know, you're perfect. You don't need a message. But then I'm reminded, if you took your shoes off, you still need to have your feet washed. Amen?
Ew.
And so, you know, you know, no matter how good you look... you got to think about that, you know, and I think about that tonight. And our church is a great church, but we need the Word of God. And so keep in mind, no matter how long you may have served the Lord, and no matter how great a servant you may be, you can still benefit from preaching. In fact, you can benefit from preaching that points out negatives in your life, calls upon you to repent and to get your feet washed and to get clean and put on some perfume, and we need that. I will say this, one characteristic of an apostate Laodicean Christianity is that the preachers are always positive. They're always smiling, they're always positive, and I will say this, that fundamental preaching has both negatives and positives. Why? Because the Bible has negatives and positives. You know, my mother just called me for some counsel on her sister's son, oldest son, been a cousin of mine for many, many years. And unfortunately, he turned to homosexuality, and he got into a homosexual, I believe, marriage. I would never go to a homosexual, quote unquote, marriage, because it's not marriage, you know. And so I wouldn't go to it. But we were talking about his quote unquote life partner passing away. He went to a nursing home. He was passing. My cousin would visit him, and my mother was asking me for counsel, how to send him a card and how to approach that. We were talking about that. But one thing I told her, don't go to the Presbyterian church where they have the funeral service, because that church is an apostate, liberal Presbyterian church. It's not the old Presbyterian church. And in fact, I'm sure they made homosexual couples welcome. And, oh yeah, you're welcome to be members of the church. Now, you're welcome to come no matter what you are, but not to be a member of the church. And the church is to be made up of born-again believers who are baptized and who are born again in Christ. And if you're living a homosexual lifestyle, that's not the lifestyle of a born-again Christian. So we talked about that. But I'm saying that there are so many churches... They begin to get neo-evangelifish, not total apostate, but they trim their message here, and they trim it there, and they tiptoe through the tithers here, and they tiptoe through that there. And I want to say, I never want to do you that disservice. Though I may respect this crowd as being a committed crowd, I want to be able to preach negatively as well as positively. But as a wise pastor, I don't use the pulpit as a club to beat people down. When I preach, I'm never trying to shame people. I'm never trying to beat people down. I'm trying to wash your feet. You know, I'm trying to wash your feet. And that's my purpose in preaching. I think of my wife. Sometimes my wife will stop me when I'm going out the door. And I'll be like, why are you stopping me? I'm in a hurry. You got chocolate all around your lips. And she'll take a rag and she'll be like that. Or something like that. That's the least embarrassing thing. I've got other stuff, but I don't want to lose my mystique. That's like washing my feet, washing my face. And I feel like that. I feel like that's what I'm doing. I preach negative messages, but don't be embarrassed. That was a negative. Don't be embarrassed, right? We talked about that Sunday night, and that helped people. You know, oh, don't be embarrassed. It was a negative message, but it's not to shame you. It's to help you to lay aside anything that would slow you down. I like what Dr. Jack Hiles used to say. By the way, I'm not afraid to use Dr. Jack Hiles' name. Some preachers are. And they're fundamental, you know, good preach, but they're afraid to use a name because they... I'm not afraid to use Donald Trump's name. I'm not saying he's a Sunday school teacher, but he's the president. I'm not afraid to say it. But Jack Hiles, you know, he said this. He said, my sermons are like a greasy wrench, and I'm trying to fix something with them in your life, so that you'll run better. And we need that. And so with all that in mind, I've chosen a negative title tonight for my sermon. And it's for my most faithful church members tonight. Here's the name of the sermon. Don't have an Elijah complex. Sunday night, don't be embarrassed. Well, don't have an Elijah complex. And would you please turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to do an expository message. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verses 9 through 18 for our scripture. Don't have an Elijah complex. And this applies to the most faithful workers. This applies to great people. Was Elijah a great man? Oh yes, he was one of the greatest men. And I personally believe that when Christ sits on Mount Zion, that Elijah will be on one side of him and Moses on the other. I believe those are the two witnesses. And I believe they're going to, it won't be John and James, it'll be Elijah and Moses on the right and left hand of Jesus. And Elijah is mentioned that he's coming again in Malachi. So he's a great man. So listen, when I'm preaching, if a message lands on you, you may be a great servant of God, but nobody has arrived. Amen? We need to keep growing and say, oh, I hope he has something that will help me to get to the next level. And here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 4. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? Now, I'm preaching tonight to you not to have an Elijah complex. And I want to say three things about that. I want to say, don't have an Elijah complex. Number one, because it will cause you to leave your post. You know, it's so important that on the dream team, that each one of you stay at your post. That each one of you stay in your position. That each one of you remain where you're supposed to be and continue to do what you're supposed to do. It's important that I do it as a head coach of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, but it's important for you as a quarterback or as an end or as a player that you play your part, or the assistant coaches, that they play their part on the team if we're going to be a winning team. And I believe that we want to be a winning team. We want to be a championship team. I think of, amen, but I'm trying to think of his name. Jim Harbaugh, he's gone, I forgot him already. Jim Harbaugh, he went to San Diego Chargers. And, you know, he took the defensive coach with him. He took other coaches with him. And, man, Michigan feels the loss. I don't regret that, though. He did a great service over a number of years to bring Michigan to be the number one team in the nation and be the championship team that they are. Now, this is just a sermon illustration. But Sharon Moore, who's the head coach, he's going to have to rebuild. If they're 8-4, that should be decent for next year. Because you got to rebuild. And if he's doing the job that he's supposed to be doing, that'll become a very great winning team again. But I'm just saying that God wants us to win. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. And I'm not talking about health and wealth, that kind of prosperity. I'm talking about God's blessing that Isaac talked about tonight. God's blessing on your life that I see all over Jose Valley. God's blessing on your life as you get locked into the Lord. And people can see it. They can see it in your face. They can see it in your life, in your home. They can see God's blessing. And that's what we want. And I'm saying, if you get into an Elijah complex, like happened with this great man, it will cause you to leave your post, your place. Notice what it says. The Lord spoke, and he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Now, the question I have, where is here at this point? Well, it was the fact that Elijah had left his place of service. You say, where was his place? It was in Carmel. It was in Jezreel. I've been to Carmel. I was on top of Mount Carmel. It's in northern Israel. He was called to minister to northern Israel. He was called to minister to a nation under the rulership of Ahab and Jezebel. He was called to take the stand that he took and to confront sin and be a bold man of God, and he did that. But you see, now he had left his place. And the first thing the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you way down here when you were way up there, and that is your post, and you were supposed to be there and do what you're supposed to do there?" You see, he should have stayed unmovable and steadfast at his post. Doesn't the Bible say that? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, stay at your post. It's great to see Steve Manning. He's pushed over the big 8-0, and that's in the rearview mirror. But he's going out soul winning on Thursday. He's here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, Sunday school, along with his wife, Brenda. Amen. It's a blessing as you stay at your post. And if you get an Elijah complex, it will cause you not to stay at your post. You will leave your post. So stay where you are. Are you married? Stay with your mate and make your marriage the best you can be. Too many people are looking for a way out of marriage. They ought to be looking to maximize their marriage, to make it the best we could be. In my generation, they said, you get married, and if you married the wrong person, you made your bed, now lie in it. But I don't say that. You make that marriage the best it can be. Any marriage takes work. Stay at your post, beloved, and be a better person. Stay in your ministry. People may rub you the wrong way, but stay in your ministry and be faithful. You know, when we rub one another the wrong way, that's sandpaper. It makes you smooth if you stay and let that happen to you. Stay faithful to your commitments, amen? And if you have a ministry or ministries in the church, you stay faithful. If you're a single person, stay faithful as a single. and do what God wants you to do. Don't have some woman lead you astray and lead you away. You stay with God. God will take care of you. Keep in mind that you can also leave your post, not just physically like Elijah did, but listen, you can check out emotionally and spiritually. I believe Elijah checked out emotionally. I believe he checked out mentally. He checked out spiritually. And then he left physically. But it's first in the mind. Your mind will follow, your feet will follow your mind. And you'll faint in your mind first, beloved. And there's a battle for the mind. Somebody said it tonight. I forgot who it was. Bobby Breck. You're helping me with this sermon, Bobby. He said about the devil and his mind, working on your mind. And we need to realize that that's what happened to Elijah. He'd had a great victory. Man, great things happen. And this can happen to the greatest of you who are servants of God. You could develop an Elijah complex, and it could cause you to just quit. Preachers are noted for preaching like crazy on Sunday, and then Monday they're retiring and resigning and going off. And Elijah left his post. I like what Dr. Wendell Kempton, one of my heroes in college, said. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. He said, keep your heart. He preached the message, and he said, you people that have come to Baptist Bible back in the day, in the heyday when it was Baptist Bible College, he said, you guys have come here, and I told you, he was like a recruiter, I told you about the great professor, Dr. Carter, I told you about the great dormitories, I told you about this and that, but I forgot to tell you, keep your heart. You know what? That could be preached right here tonight. We got things going on here in this church, but if you lose your heart for God, for the work, you're not going to stay at your post. And Elijah left his post, and God said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Could God be speaking to your heart? What are you doing here? Why are you unplugging in this place of unplugging from staying faithfully at your post, dear one? What is making you just go through the motions, but in your heart you're trying to unplug? And you shouldn't leave your post physically, but neither should you check out mentally or emotionally because of your problems or because of people and their attitudes or discouragements that you face along the way in your life. You're going to have those things, but you need to keep your heart. And Brother Kempton said, keep your heart, keep your heat, and keep your hustle. Elijah failed to do that. This great man, he left mentally, physically, and emotionally, and he traveled down south to a place called Beersheba. I was near there in the desert there. That's where he went, all the way down south into a desert land called Beersheba. And what was he doing? He was trying to put as much distance between him and Jezebel as possible. And then that wasn't enough for him. He actually traveled further to the south, and it took him, get this, 40 days to get further to the south. And I want you to notice this in verse number 8 of chapter 19. Look at verse 8. He was in Beersheba, verse 3. And let's look at verse 3, first of all. It says, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Okay, so he's leaving his servant. Now he's going to go further. Look at verse 8, and it says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat, that food, 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He went all the way down to the Arabian Peninsula, where you go across the Red Sea at the site of the true Mount Sinai. There's a fake site and a real site. And the rocks are burned on top of the true Mount Sinai. He went there to that site. It took him 40 days, and he was moving. And that was a long trip, if you look at that on the map. And I did that today. He was way away from where he should have been. I mean, he was way down there. And no matter how far away he was from his post, I like this. It says the word of the Lord came to him. And if you're struggling with leaving your post, I trust this message will be a word from the Lord to you, like it was to Elijah. What are you doing here? What doest thou here, Elijah? And you could put your name. What doest thou here emotionally? What doest thou here mentally? What doest thou here spiritually? Why not stay at your post, beloved? Don't have an Elijah complex, because it will cause you, I said, to leave your post. And every person on the team is important. I watch Michigan. Everyone they recruit, it's important. Right now is when everyone, but if they don't stay, if they get in the transfer portal and they got to move out, that weakens the team. And Elijah complex will cause you to leave your post. Number two, though, don't have an Elijah complex because it will cause you to be self-aggrandizing. Seems just opposite. He was discouraged. He was down. He was depressed. But the Elijah complex causes you to be self-aggrandizing. And by that I mean, this is something that can happen to the best of saints, to the ones that God is blessing more than anything else. See, you know what pride is? Pride is the failure to see that everything that you accomplish is done by God in you and through using others to get you where you are. And you forget that. And you become self-aggrandizing. That happened to one of the greatest servants of God in biblical history. Here's what he says in chapter 19 of 1 Kings in verse 10. Notice the words. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You notice the repetition of I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know what he was saying? There's nobody else like me in Israel. Unfortunately, there's nobody like me. And there's nobody that can do what I have done. And you know what? He if you think of it, he stood alone and faced down 450 prophets of Baal when the Israelites were sitting on the fence. And he said, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And they were sitting on the fence until he called fire from heaven. And then they admitted, yeah, the Lord is God. See, he said, I'm the only one. And now that's all wasted because there's no revival. I'd expected a revival. And a lot of times you get disappointed when your expectations aren't fulfilled and you become all self-absorbed and pity party time. And that's where he went. He crashed. And he had that Elijah complex. And he was all thinking of himself and absorbed with himself. And so, you know, that was a problem for him. And he repeated that in verse 14. Not only verse 10, but look at verse 14. It says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You see, he's self-aggrandizing. He's focused on himself. You know, his name means Elijah. Eli is the name for God. Elohim, Eli, the God of all creation. Jah is the covenant God that made a covenant with Israel. Jehovah, Elijah. His name means that. And he was jealous. He was jealous because the wife of God, Israel, was cheating on God. And he saw it. How would you feel if you had a good friend and you saw when he went to work, the wife was calling in paramours to come in? You'd be like, oh, man. Cheater. And that's how he was. Like, they're cheating. And he saw that, and even though he called fire from heaven and stood down the prophets of Baal, all the people haven't repented. They're still doing that. There's no change. The king and queen haven't repented. There's still no change there. And he had this Elijah complex that made him all self-absorbed and self-aggrandizing. And if you're not careful, God gives you grace to serve him. But if you're not careful, I'm talking to a dream team here. You begin to think, wow, I'm the only one. I'm doing so much. Others are not doing what I'm doing. You know what that reminds me of? Not only Elijah, but remember Martha in the New Testament? In Luke chapter 10? And how she was having this big ministry to make a great dinner for the Lord and entertain the Lord. And remember how she got upset because she felt like, I'm the only one doing this. There's nobody helping me here. And it got to the point where she was accusing her sister of being a lazy bum. And she actually got so bossy, she went to the Lord to tell the Lord, you need to tell her what to do. You need to straighten her out. And you know what? When you look at the Bible, the Lord didn't do what she wanted. The Lord said, you're the one that needs straightening out. Your sister is blessed. And I'm not going to take that blessing away from her. Now, Martha had her part, and Mary had her part, and each of us have our part, and we should be careful not to judge other people. But sometimes servants of God can get bossy and try to tell, this is how it should be done. That's how it should be done. This person should be doing that, and that person should be doing it. I think of a pastor. And I went to seminary at Baptist Bible Seminary. We had a pastor named Matthews who had pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan for years. 30 years, something like that. Not as long as I have, but 30 years. But anyway, he said to us, he said, I am not the dictator. I told my people I'm not the dictator of my church. I'm just raised up to make sure that no one else is the dictator. And you know what? Martha became the dictator. And she tried to tell the Lord how to do it. Elijah became the dictator, and he was trying to tell God, basically, you're not handling this. You're not handling this, so I'm getting out of there. I'm getting out of there now. I'm running. He was being bossy. And I tell people, I say, you know, leadership, this is actually Charlie Ware. I'm quoting him again. I quote him all the time, don't I? He said, as a pastor, he said, leadership must lead and fellowship must follow. And if you're called to be a pastor, you've got to lead. And the pulpit is the key thing. By the way, in the Bible, the platform, we call it the platform. This is the pulpit. So this is all my pulpit. And from here, 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 here. This pulpit is not up for vote. You don't have a vote. You have a vote in business meetings. Everybody has one vote. I have one. You have one. We all have the same vote. But when it comes to the pulpit, there's one vote. That's Jesus. And what he tells me to preach, I'm going to preach. People have tried to change me. That hasn't happened in 46 years. It may still happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Don't have an Elijah complex because it will cause you to leave your post, because it will cause you to be self-aggrandizing. And that you don't want. And number three, and lastly, because it will cause you to leave God out of the equation. God told Elijah to stop playing God. Stop bossing me. and get back to your post. And God said, I want you to get back to your post. You say, where did he say that? Look at verse 15 of chapter 19. I'll read it, you follow. It says, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way. In other words, go back where you came from. And as you're going back, go to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. You know what God is saying here? He's saying, get back at your post. I've got this. I've handled this. I've already thought of all this. I got a kick out of it. I was playing my little grandkids in chess. And I hadn't played chess since I was a little guy. And I thought, I was kind of intimidated because, you know, their dad's smart and he probably trained him in chess. And so, but you know what I found out about little kids? They don't think ahead at all. And so I was able to beat my little grandkids. You're looking at a child beater here. But anyway, at least I could play chess at least. But anyway, God is saying, hey, I got the whole chessboard, you know. He's got the whole world in his hand, Elijah. And so you go back, Elijah, and get back at your post. And some of you tonight, that's what you just need to do. You need to let God be God. And you need to just do your part. And let God be God. That's great. And Hazael was to be a king of Syria, which is farther north than the northern kingdom. Go way back up north, Elijah, and anoint Hazael. Now, Hazael was a killer. He was a guy. I mean, God is saying to him, I want you to anoint Hazael. And Elijah did that through his protege, Elisha, who actually did the anointing. And Hazael, Elisha cried when Hazael was told how he was going to rip up babies in the womb from their mothers. And Elisha was crying when he said that, and he anointed him. He said, you're going to do that. And Hazael said, oh, that's such a great thing. You mean I'm going to do that? Oh, what a wonderful thing. He thought it was great. And he went and he got a blanket filled with water and put it on Ben-Hadad's face, the king of Syria, while he was sick. And then Hadad died and Hazael was king. God said, I want to do that. Why? Because God said, I am going to use Hazael as a club to spank Israel. You're worried about Israel, Elijah, but I'm going to deal with Israel through Hazael. You know, sometimes parents will come into my office and say, can I borrow your paddle, you know? And they'll take the Board of Education there and apply it to the seat of learning. You know, thank God for spankings. I have told parents over the years, the Bible is very clear. You're to discipline your child, not in anger, but in dignity. And you're to discipline, especially when they're young, so that they can learn. And then you can have other forms of punishment when they get older. But the rod is the best when they're young. And you train a child in the way he should go. And he'll be a functional adult. That's what Proverbs is teaching. He'll know how to function. But if you don't, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So I am thankful that I got spankings as a kid. I'm thankful for parents that did that. And I'm sorry for those that haven't because you hate your child. That's what the Bible says. You hate them. You don't love them. Because you're gonna lead them to an early grave by not spanking them. And I've warned parents about that. So I'm just saying that God said, I'm going to spank Israel. I'm going to use Hazael to do it. And so I'm going to deal with those people. Now don't do like a family in our church did, a good family in our church. They said, well, we're called upon to spank our children, and we want to let them know how it feels. So when they did something wrong, they'd bend over and had their kids spank them. I thought, that sounds really good, but I don't go for that. Your spanking would come from your parents. Your kids don't have to spank you, you know. But anyway, God had it in hand. And then secondly, I want you to notice, look at verse 15 and verse 16 of chapter 19. I'll read it. It says there in verse 16 now, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Oh, Elijah, you're worried about handling things? I got a guy already to be king of Israel. How many have heard of Jehu, the son of Nimshi? You could tell by the way he drove his car, his chariot, what kind of leader he was going to be. And what was he? He was like Elijah in a prophet, but he was a king. And he was raised up, listen to me, he was raised up to kill the house of Ahab. To kill everybody. The Bible says that, I'm sorry about the word if you don't like it, but it's King James, that pisses against the wall. Kill them all. And he did. He killed like 70 of them, had them throw the heads over the wall of the city. He just went through it. And, you know, he started on the house of Ahab, and he didn't finish. God killed Ahab, the king, but Ahab had a wife, Jezebel. How many have read Jonathan Cahn's book about where Ahab is compared to Bill Clinton, and Jezebel is Hillary Clinton, and the son of them was Jehoram. And he compared that to the political son of the Clintons, Barack Obama. And all I got to say to you is that if that follows through, God's not done with Donald J. Trump. And after Ahab was killed, old Jehu comes driving up with Jonadab coming on to Jezreel, you know, coming up to where the queen is in the palace and where her son politically, if it's Obama, was now reigning. And I believe Obama is reigning. It's not Biden, it's Obama. Just want to make that clear. And he's riding up and they said, who is that coming? He said, it looks like Jehu, the son of Nimshi. How do you know? He drives like a crazy man. And is it peace? You know, go out and check it out if it's peace. So the king Obama went out there to see if it's peace. And old Jehu took his thing and went, shoop, shot him, killed him right there. Took care of the king of Judah that was up there with him because of Jehoshaphat's compromise, you know. He took that guy out. But then you still have Jezebel. And what's she doing? She knows she's outgunned now. She's painting her face, trying to look good. I think Hillary, it's beyond hope now. Just give it up. But anyway, she's in the window there, and Elijah goes, I mean, Jehu goes, not Elijah, but the anointed one from Elijah. He goes, if you are doing the right thing, you'll throw her down. And they threw her out of the window, and he drove over her. He went in and then ate, had a meal, came out and said, she's a king's daughter, we should bury her. And he only found her head and her hands. That was all that was left of her. Jehu was God's paddle. Jonathan Cahn says in his best-selling book that Donald Trump answers to Jehu. And there's some unfinished business that still needs to be done. I'm just saying God's in control. Don't get an Elijah complex. Don't rule God out of the equation. Recognize he's in control and stay at your post and do what God wants you to do and stay with it because God is in control. And Elisha was God's reminder that Elijah was not the only one. He said, now I want you to anoint Elisha, and he's going to carry on the prophetic work that you're doing. God's in control. God's in control. And you need to stay at your post. God will bless you if you do that. Don't have an Elijah complex because it will cause you to leave your post. You know what? I went physically south to Florida to celebrate my wife's birthday. Every day, her birthday. It was fun. I enjoyed celebrating it with her. I told her, I walk around the house, she likes the house. You know, I said, it's your house. I could live in a hut. I'm just here. It's your house. You're the queen. But, you know, I went down there. And my wife, she's down there with family, and that's her neck of the woods and everything. But I know, and she knows, I'm not leaving my post. I'm going back north. And I'm getting refreshed and getting a little break, a recreation, but I'm coming back to go at it. Any recreation I get, and I need it, we all need it, we need to rest. You got a day of rest, right? Hopefully. Friday, supposed to be. Get a day of rest. Mine's, you know, where you can rejuvenate spiritually so you can come back at it again. Some people, they just are resting all the time. They're unplugging out and they're calling in sick all the time. You know, you don't want to do that. You just want to get it and then stay with it. And Elijah, he got self-aggrandizing and he didn't stay with it because he got so self-centered. He ruled God out of the equation. Have you been doing that? If you're not doing it, great. Keep this message because sooner or later, you could be tempted. And you need to know. Or you need to be able to help others when that happens to them. Stay at your post. Don't be self-absorbed and don't rule God out of the equation. Stay close to Him. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and eye closed. We've been talking about not having an Elijah complex.